Yeah. Man, it feels good to be here. My name is Jim Rome. Welcome to the Friday edition of The Jungle. What's cracking? Nice to have you here. Hope you're ready for the weekend. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that so, Rex? Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a good show, right, Rex? Yeah. Great show for you today. Let's get at it. Get up in here. Call me up right now. I do have an interview coming up next segment with my guy Jason Lockenfora. But in the meantime, get in early. You do not have to wait. Get to the front of the line. Give us a phone call. Telephone is toll free. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see the other side of the glass. Alvin is back, which means everybody is back in their normal spots. You can see the other two guys. Pretty happy about that. Hawk is back in the front row. The old man Ritt back in the back row. Thanks for showing up today, Alvin. Very big of you.
Dude.
Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, the good news is that means you should call 1-800-636-8686. Jason Lockenfora coming up next segment. Atlanta Falcons linebacker Deion Jones next hour. Ben Golliver, Washington Post NBA writer next hour. Alvy's Week That Was in hour number three, and ATP in hour number three. It's going to be a good day. Lots to cover. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Go to my Instagram page at Jim Rome. All right, let me start with the NFL. The NFL was back last night. It was so good to have it back, right? Like in a world where it feels like almost everything has changed, it is nice to know that there are still a few things that you can count on. There are still a few constants. Like Houston going to Kansas City and giving up a ton of points, punting at strange times, and completely getting worked and outclassed by KC. In other words, the Texans, same as they ever were and probably always will be. And last night was our first look at the NFL this season and the NFL in a pandemic. And there were some pretty good looks. And there were some pretty horrible looks. I hate to start with a bad look. But let me start with a bad look. KC fan, man, I don't know what to say other than, you know I'm big on you, Kansas City. I really am. I'm huge on Kansas City fans. But you want to explain what the hell you were doing, booing the two teams coming together in a show of unity. Actually, you don't need to explain that to me. I already know the answer. I just don't want it to be true. Bad look. Bad form, bad idea. So let's get that part out of the way. Bad look. Now, while that was a bad look, Andy Reid's face shield was a good look. Correction. It was a great look. No, it was the best look. And no, he was not wearing a buffet sneeze guard on his face. Knock it off.
Knock it off!
My man looked like Iron Man when he had that face shield flipped up. But after the game, he promised it would be even better next time around.
Coach, I'm going to be honest. The talk of Twitter has to be your face mask and how it fogged up. It seemed like you had a little trouble with it.
Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah, I didn't do very good with that thing. But it will be better the next time. So I appreciate you asking that, though. It was a bit of a mess, but we'll get it fixed up.
My man is the greatest. He is so awesome. Except for one thing. Nothing to fix. Nothing to update. Nothing to correct for the next game. Andy, you can just strap that contraption right back on that hat, roll back out there, and keep on slaying them. I mean, if you really get down to it, the only way you can improve upon that look, the only way to improve upon that face visor, is if you black it out completely. Like LaDainian Tomlinson back in the day.
What it do?
Can you imagine how badass that would be? That would be the best look ever. If you were just to block that thing out completely. Also, we had a chance to see the new look Houston offense. And to see what that downgraded offense looked like without DeAndre Hopkins. And with David Johnson. I haven't seen anything or anyone get that downgraded since the flight attendant delivered the unfortunate news to me that I was first on the downgraded list. That's how downgraded the Texans offense was. And then David Johnson shows up And he does this in the first quarter.
Gets the head high shot, gun snap, the give to David Johnson. A hole opens on the right side. A little stutter step of the 15, down the right sideline to the 10, to the 5, and he sticks the ball across the goal line with his left hand for the touchdown. David Johnson scooting in over the right side, and it's a touchdown for the Texans. They take a 6-0 lead.
All right, so I'll give you this. His first TD as a Texan and the first TD of the season. And in that moment, all the Bill O'Brien defenders, both of them, looking to crack back on everybody who bashed that David Johnson trade, all came flying in at once. Listen, I've got nothing against David Johnson. I've always liked him a lot. Good dude. Good dude. And the conversations I've had with him on this program have been great. And that was a nice TD run. But don't tell me that that was not a horrible trade. Or that we need to give it more time to know. Get out of here with that. That was a horrible trade at the time that it was made. And as good of a dude as he is, and as good of a run as that was, it was a horrible trade when he scored. And it's a horrible trade right now. I mean, stop. How'd that offense look to you last night, overall? Did it look better than it did last year? In fact, overall, how did Houston look to you last night? Yeah, I know it's only one game. But they looked very similar to me last night, only worse. In the playoffs, they showed up in Kansas City. They jumped out to a lead. Then they got hammered. Last night, they jumped out to a 7-0 lead. And then they promptly gave up 31 straight points. Man, that is so bad. That is so bad, it's good. That is terrible. That is so terrible, it's incredible. You would think an offense with Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, and some of the other weapons they have might stumble their way into a field goal or something to break up a 31-0 run. Or you would think that defense would be able to get off the field even once or twice to give the chance or give the offense a chance to start rolling. But they couldn't do that either. When the game mattered, they lost 31-7. And a couple of garbage time TDs does not change that. Although it did make all of us some jack who had the over. So thanks for not quitting. Credit for that. Just don't act like you didn't need or you didn't miss DeAndre Hopkins and that Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks would make everybody forget about Hopkins, because they didn't. Not when they combined for 4 receptions and 43 yards. And yet somehow, that wasn't even the worst look of the night for the Texans. But I will get to that in a minute, because to their credit, Houston's defense did throw some different looks at Patrick Mahomes. Not that it mattered, but they did throw some different looks at Patrick Mahomes.
They changed up a lot. They did a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage, and then they kind of stayed back and kept safeties back, and they put a guy over 10 pretty much the whole entire game.
Whatever, right? As I mentioned, it didn't matter. Like, it might be the cliche-iest of all the cliches, but Pat really did take what the defense gave him. My man doesn't have an ego like that at all. And since the home run ball was not there, he just went to work underneath. And he completed 75% of his passes for 3 TDs and no INTs. In other words, the guy isn't going to force anything and can now adjust to everything. And that's got to scare just about every defensive coordinator on KC's schedule. You give the guy a different look, and he's still as dominant as ever. He just beat you in a different way. Oh, and speaking of different looks, last night was the world's first look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire in an NBA game, NFL game, I should say. And dude, that's got to scare the hell out of DCs league-wide, because that's exactly what the Chiefs offense needed, right? Another weapon. You take the Chiefs offense from last year and then you add CEH to it? The hell is that? I'll tell you what, it's not fair. That's not fair. 25 carries, 138 yards, and a TD. One extremely badass TD.
And the give to Clyde Edwards-Helaire breaks the tackle, the line of scrimmage, cut back to the 15. Now the speed to the 5 and in for the touchdown. From LSU, showing the moves and then showing the burst. 23-7.
Credit Westwood 1. 27 yards for a TD in your NFL debut is nice. But you know what's not nice? That juke. that he put on Texan safety, Justin Reed. For the record, Justin Reed is a good player, a really good player, but a really bad thing happened to him last night. And that bad thing was CEH, because Reed had the rookie lined up in his sights, and CEH dropped a video game juke on him. I haven't seen someone drop an opponent as disrespectfully as that since James Harden put Wesley Johnson in the ground, and they needed a cleanup on aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three. Someone call someone, because there's a cleanup on aisle three as a man is down.
Ouch.
Someone call someone. Let's get one thing out of the way, too, with CEH. He's listed at 5'8", 209. So, like, I'd even say that he's not the biggest guy around. And even that's not right. He's not the tallest guy around. 5'8", 209. Man, my man is strong as hell. 5'8", 209, and that doesn't matter at all. Because the scary thing about CEH is not just the production last night. It's what he means to the entire offense. Kansas City rushed 16 times in the first half last night. That's more than they did in any game last year. So the best and most versatile offense in the league just got better and even more versatile. And on top of that, his teammates already love him. Love him. Listen to what Pat told Michelle Tafoya after the game.
The guy's a star, man. He works hard. He works his tail off. His vision's incredible. And I thought the offensive line did a great job of giving him those holes for him to run through.
I mean, listen to what Pat Mahomes is saying about the rookie after his first game. You can tell, listen to it in his voice. He loves him, and he's not the only one. This is an amazing statement. Travis Kelce said this.
The biggest thing in training camp is you don't always get to see the hitting aspect, whether a guy is easy to tackle or whether he's brought down easy. And, you know, that was shown today, man. I mean, he is a tough son of a buck for how tall he is, man. He's got the strength of somebody my size, man. He runs the ball like no one I've ever seen at that size. And it's fun to play with, man. It's infectious when you see him out there playing his tail off and running his tail off. You want to go out there and block for him and make plays for him as well.
I mean, damn, we're talking about two of the best in the game. Two of the best in the game raving about a rookie who just played his first game. And on top of that, they're saying how much fun he is to play with, how much harder you want to work for him, and they're referencing how hard he already works. So they've already won a Super Bowl. They've got stars all over that offense, and all of the guys are fired up by a rookie who comes in and plays his ass off. I mean, that is bad news for everybody else in the NFL. That is scary. And that gap between Kansas City and Houston feels even bigger now than it was when Kansas City smashed them up in that playoff comeback. And you know what? The gap starts with the guy on the headset. I hate to say it, but that gap between Andy Reid and Bill O'Brien feels enormous right now. And if you want proof, don't look at the scoreboard of the last two games. Look at the fact that Bob punted from midfield, not once, but twice last night. And I'm not sure what's worse. The punt on 4th and 4 from the 50 that led to a 91-yard KCTD drive, or the one from your own 48 in the third quarter when you were down by 17. Yeah, look, I get it. It was 4th and 9. That's a long way to go for a first down. But you're playing Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, CEH, and the rest of that crew. KC had already scored 24 straight. You're not stopping them if they get the ball in your 48 or their 9. It doesn't matter. And you punt. You still punt. Like, in a world where everything is changing, some things have become constant. KC's offense looks unfair, and Bob looking like a clown. Welcome back, football. It's great to have you back, even if that night was awful for Texans fans. Then again, Texans fans, you know what they always say, right? Embrace the suck. Embrace the suck. And in your case, what choice do you really have? And for the rest of the NFL, enjoy KC. Enjoy that offense. Enjoy their elite talent. And enjoy the elite play design put together by a silly rabbit in a V-stiv visor.
His silly rabbit.
His what?
His silly rabbit.
His silly rabbit?
Yes.
Is that what he calls you?
No. That's I call myself.
No self, no self. Awesome.
Is what?
You don't like that color. I don't like that color.
No, that's what I call myself. That is the ultimate self gloss.
Is what?
Is that what he? She's like so disdainful. Is that what that racist calls you? His now, what? That's when I call myself the Philly Rabbit. I love Alvin hammering her for self-glossing. And I love my man Andy Reid. And I love that new look.
How about those cheese?
Houston, you had a bad night. You had a bad night. Texans, Rockets. Bad things, bad night.
He is a tough son of a buck.
He is a tough son of a buck, that cat. My man, CEH, is he run low to the ground or what? Love him. In addition to that, I want to talk. I can't wait to talk about the Lakers and what they unveiled last night. Rockets have got a really big problem and a ton more to get to, but I've got to get out right now because JLC, Jason Lockin' Ford, joins me next. One thing that I do want to mention. The return of the big head predictions. James Kelly has got some action. He's going to get down this weekend with NFL picks, and he is going to share them with you next hour. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. It is time for you to upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL and talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/business deals.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Good to be with you. If I told you that, I mean it too. 1-800-636-8686. Should get up in here. Telephone call is coming up, but first things first, we are joined right now by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today during the regular season and the postseason. We consider him an extremely good friend of the program. He is co-host of Inside Access on 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore. He is Jason Lockin' for JLC. What's going on, Jason? How are you?
I can't complain, brother. Can't complain. We've got actual, real, regular season football games. It's a beautiful thing, and I hope you and your friends and family are doing well out in the Cali.
We are, JLC. Thanks for saying so. I would say the same thing about you and your family. Jason, how good did it feel to have the NFL back last night?
It obviously wasn't your normal Thursday night kickoff, and I think we've all come through the last 6 months to understand that things are going to be a little different and not all the bells and whistles that we're accustomed to in terms of what the stadiums look like and in terms of what the broadcasts look like are going to be the same for obvious reasons, at least not in the short term. But the game was pretty crisp. I thought for all the sort of hand-wringing about no training camps and tackling and is this going to be ugly, and let's face it, we've complained in normal years about September football and how some teams look markedly more prepared to play than others. But it was a quality product. It was looked like the regular NFL, and it was the regular NFL. And now I think you got two franchises that are in very different places, and for one, the arrow continues to seem pointed remarkably up, and for the other, we may be talking about the Texans, 12, 15, 18 months from now, the way we've talked about the Jaguars for the last year, which is, boy, remember that one playoff run they had, and then they lost, and then, they kind of fell off the map. Maybe Deshaun Watson's good enough to keep that from happening by himself, but the collective around him, I don't know that's going to give him a whole lot of help.
Jason Lockin' Ford joining us. All right, so I agree with everything you just said. Let me ask you about KC. When you look at what they did on offense last season and then you add Clyde Edwards-Helaire into that, man, how much better can that offense be this year?
Well, the Texans are not a good defensive football team. I have a lot of respect for Anthony Weaver. I think he's going to emerge as a bright mind and defensive play caller, but they haven't been good for years, and I don't know what they did in the offseason that would give anybody an indication that from a talent standpoint, they were any better. So I don't want to go too crazy with this, but they had the training wheels on last night on offense. It's like you want to play two deep safeties. You want death by 1,000 paper cuts, but we can do that too. We'll hand it off to this back. We'll hand the rookie. We'll hand it off to our fullback. We'll dink and dunk and matriculate the ball down the field. We'll do jump passes to Kelce barely over the line of scrimmage. We'll get our yak. We'll take the underneath stuff. And come on, Jim, if they wanted to score 40 last night, they could have. I mean, when it was 31 straight and it's 31-7, they took the training wheels off. They took both wheels off. You know, they just the bike wouldn't even move. They didn't have to. They just bled the clock, and that was that. But the idea that the fastest show on grass and all the downfield stuff, yeah, that's still there. All the speed's still there. But they can beat you this way, too, and still roll up a ton of points and play bully ball and not let you possess the football yourself. So, yeah, that's a thing. And they're going to be tough. If they stay relatively healthy, they're going to be very tough to defend. You're going to have to be able to score 35 points on them, I think, to have a chance a lot of weeks.
Jason Lockenfora joining us once again. So, JLC, you've got Bill O'Brien, right? And he continues to run the ball up the middle in the second half when they're down by 17. Yeah. He's punting from midfield a couple of times on fourth down. We know he's made a number of strange roster moves. I guess what I'm asking you is, what the hell is this guy doing? I mean, does he have a plan that none of us know? Exactly what is this guy doing?
Well, I mean, look, he has proven to have a strong relationship with Cal McNair, the owner there, who is still relatively young in his tenure after, you know, his father passed away. And, you know, I think would be someone who would admit over the last, you know, 12, 15 months that he doesn't have it all figured out yet. And sometimes, Jim, timing is everything. But that's a team that has, you know, shown it can do enough to get to the playoffs. But, you know, can they really get over the mountaintop? And there are certainly plenty of questions that could be asked over the years about play calling, about the division of labor, about how they've handled their locker room and star players and who gets paid and who doesn't get paid and the lack of any separation of church and state between the personnel side and the coach side, because it's all one dude pretty much who can decide what happens. Look, the division is better. You know, I think Tennessee's pretty legit. And I think the Colts won't be as injured as last year, and I think they'll be a better team. And I don't know that the Texans are going to be playing January football. And what will the repercussions of that be? I don't know. To this point, Cal McNair has shown to be incredibly loyal to Bill O'Brien, but everything comes to an end in the NFL.
Jason Lockenfora already in midseason form. Jason, you mentioned the start of the evening and how it was different. I'm curious, what was your reaction to the fans booing when the players linked arms before the game last night?
Yeah, I think it's really unfortunate. It's sad. Personally, you know, I felt saddened by it. I felt bewildered by it. Was I surprised? I don't know. You know, I don't know what expectations you have. And I knew that they were doing something like that, but I wasn't sure of the exact timing. It was going to be, you know, before or after the anthems, and you have, you know, different things going on with the kickoff game. It turns out it was, you know, pretty much right before the opening kickoff. I didn't understand, honestly, like why that sort of statement of affirmation and togetherness and unity would provoke a rebuke.
I didn't like it either. And I said so at the very top. I thought that was a bad look. I thought that was bad form. I thought that was a bad idea. I didn't understand that. I thought that was disappointing. So I'm on the same page with you on that. JLC, what about, you made some predictions, and I want to ask you about one. You called your shot, in fact, early on, and you said that Cam Newton is going to be the comeback player of the year this season. For all the talk from some corners earlier this summer about Cam and the Patriot way, how do you like the way he fits in that offense?
Well, I mean, let's be real about where they are as a franchise right now, right? They were in a cap bind this year. They've got a lot of dead cap on the books. They're moving off of arguably the greatest player of all time. And the supporting cast isn't great, which is part of the reason that Tom, you know, had enough of it. So Cam's a completely different beast, though. What you can do with him in your run game and mesh points and moving things around and option plays and pitch plays and QB keepers, I think that's going to help the offensive line. And I think, you know, it's going to help a running back room where, you know, how healthy is Sony Michel and what is the division of labor? Well, you certainly have to account for Cam. That's one more person that a linebacker or a safety or somebody is going to have to spy or mug or keep an eye on, maybe more than one person. So that helps, I think, account for some of the issues with the skill guys. Is it going to look like it did in the past? No. But Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels have shown you, even with Tom Brady, they weren't averse to going heavy with a fullback and two tight ends and smash it down your throat. And I think they're going to be able to do that in a more creative, more ambitious way, given Cam's skill set. And look, the receivers aren't great, but you can boot Cam, you can waggle him, you can do different things to draw the defense in. They're going to have to respect his athleticism in a way they didn't with Tom. And I think it has the potential to be successful. Look, I don't love the roster on defense either, but the way I look at it, Jim, was the hoodie's good for at least 5 wins. Like, can you see the hoodie going 4-12? Like,
no.
I can see the hoodie going 4-12 with college players at the NFL level. And I figured, you know, with Stidham, that might be a 6-win team. With Cam, I think he's good for 3 more wins. And in an expanded playoff, in a weird year, does 9-7 get New England in? Yeah, and I'm not ruling them out winning the division either. Maybe they win more than 9 or 10. I don't love the personnel, but I do think Belichick could get him into the playoffs. And if he does, it's probably one of his top 2 or 3 coaching, you know, jobs of all time.
Jason Lockenfora joining us. All right, so one last thought since you mentioned the division. The other day, Jason, Jets GM Joe Douglas was pointing out that the team is getting no respect going into the season, and they quote, it angers his players to see that. First off, what is your reaction when you hear that, and how do you think they'll show up against the Bills on CBS on Sunday?
I like Joe a lot. I think Joe is a bright young executive, but they're not getting any respect because they don't have any players. They're not many proven commodities, and some that they have, like, you know, C.J. Mosley, you know, understandably so, decides he's not playing, and then the dean of their offensive line, Winters, he's cut, and the guy who's getting the most publicity in camp is Frank Gore, and God, I love him, but Jim, he's almost as old as I am, so... You know, do they have any sort of infrastructure to protect and help Sam Darnold? I don't know. They drafted Mims. It looks like he's going to be out for a while. They're already super short of wide receivers. I think Herndon is an emerging tight end, but how often are they going to be able to throw the ball downfield? What role does Le'Veon Bell have? Who's rushing the passer? Who's replacing Jamal Adams? Greg Williams is a great schemer, but you need 11 guys out there, and you know, hopefully 2 to 3 of them are better than average players. I don't see that. So, yeah, I think the Jets and the Jags and the Washington football team and maybe the Giants, I mean, you're asking me about who's in the race for the first overall pick. Those are some of the teams that come to mind.
Jesse, what was the week like? Are you fired up for the NFL on CBS, and what was the production week like? Let me know what's going on.
Yeah, I am absolutely fired up. I mean, I'll be honest. There were times this offseason where you weren't sure what any of this was going to look like. So we had a bunch of meetings going on in New York right now. I'm still in Baltimore, and I'll start the season at least remote from my basement, but with a better setup for those who see me on CBS Sports HQ or CBS Sports Network. We've upgraded. We had some folks from New York come down. So it'll be a little more aesthetically pleasing. At some point, maybe I'll transition to going up to New York, just depending on, you know, what makes sense and with what doesn't with COVID. But the rest of the guys are going to be in studio. We've had some remote rehearsals already. We've got some more coming up at the top of the hour. Everybody's fired up, man. We've got a great show planned for week one. And, you know, we'll still have Tops as well, which, you know, I'll be remote for that as well to start the season. But it's just awesome to be able to talk about football games and football news and, you know, the nitty-gritty stuff that, you know, we probably all took for granted in the past, but certainly really don't anymore.
Preach, my brother. He is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He does appear every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS during the regular season and the postseason. He is a co-host of Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, JLC. Thanks for starting us off, Jason. Have a great weekend, and I know you and I will talk soon.
Look forward to it, buddy. Thanks, as always, for having me.
You too, Jason. Thank you for doing it, as always. As I mentioned, he's in midseason form. JLC, pros pro. All right, so you can react to any of that. If you want to go anywhere else for week one, let's go ahead and do it. 1-800-636-8686. As I mentioned, the big head, James Kelly. He's also going to do his segment remotely. But he's got some picks. He's got some thoughts. Hey, listen, did you take my pick and my thought yesterday? If you did, you got paid. Notice how I never mentioned that when my picks are wrong. Well, they weren't last night.
Paid for.
I do want to talk about the Lakers. Man, I love what I saw from them. Bad night for Houston overall. The city thereof. Good night for the Lakers. Great night for Kansas City. Lots to get to. Deion Jones coming up next hour. Ben Golliver coming up in hour number three. Albie's 4 days that were in hour number three. Let me get you a sports update. If you're wondering what's going on, here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so a couple of quick challenges for you. Number one, starting with the ATP. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Challenge number one. Can somebody beat the queen, Bella B? Or is she going to ask me the ATP like she always does? It's like Tiger Woods back in the day when it was, who do you have, Tiger Woods or the field? Who do you have, Bella B or the field? I'm taking Bella B every time.
They're all buttholes out there. They really are.
She's better than the rest of you. Is there anybody who can ask me or submit an ATP to take her off the throne, the queen? That's challenge number one. Challenge number two, man, are any of you good enough to get on the air? I'm not even talking about, are any of you good enough to rip a golden ticket? Are any of you good enough to be in a smack-off? I'm asking, are any of you good enough to get on the air? Because so far the answer is no. You should take that as a personal challenge. Actually, you should take that personally. Yeah, Rome, who the hell are you? Who the hell are you and who the hell do you think you are? I don't know. A guy who does a pretty good show that's not going to take bad calls. Show me what you've got. Are any of you good enough to get on the air? That should be a personal challenge. 1-800-636-8686. Dear Rome, after last night, I am convinced David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins was a great trade. Signed, Enron shareholders circa September 01. Aaron in Omaha. Rome Slice, we thought Andy Reid's fogged up face shield looked great. Regards, wrestling in the backseat of a car. Geoff in Lincoln. Geoff, the guy owned it. He said it himself.
A car.
When he was asked about that, a reporter said, hey, Andy, you were the rage of Twitter, but your shield got fogged up a little bit. He said, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. It did. It was not a good look. I'll be better next time.
That was brutal. Yeah, I didn't do very good with that thing. But it'll be better the next time. So I appreciate you asking that, though. It was a bit of a mess, but we'll get it fixed up.
Dude, stop beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself up, my man. You look great. You cannot improve upon that unless you do exactly what I said. Namely, you black that thing out. You tint that thing. But go dark like LT back in the day. Hey, Rome, even we think that Andy Reid looks ridiculous in his fogged-up face shield. Signed, every dog who has ever had to wear a head cone. Geoff in Springfield, wrong again. Cody the Ragdoll Cat had to rock one of those things once because he had surgery. Man, I felt bad for him. And he's all about the look, Cody the Ragdoll Cat. And you could tell, man, that it hurt his pride. And then why come back home one day and somehow dude had gotten out of it like he was a little cat Harry Houdini, like he got out of a straitjacket. I'm like, freaking Cody the Ragdoll Cat, man. Hated that thing so much he somehow got out of it. Like he went all David Blaine with it. Hey, Rome, the Texans should be just fine without DeAndre Hopkins. Signed, Jeremy Renner filling in for Jason Bourne. Yeah, that was
That's
a good
Jason
idea.
Bourne.
Let's make a Bourne movie without Bourne. How'd that go? Dear Rome, hey, Rockets fan, man, quit crying. It's always something with you. Chris Paul was hurt. We never get any calls. And now Daniel House. After the Lakers put you out of your misery tomorrow, your coach can go back to modeling for the Pringles can, and your GM can go find unemployment or find the unemployment office. Signed, Sean in Costa Mesa. War Car Flag Nation. War playing small ball for two games and doing it better than a team that's done it all season. All right, so he makes some pretty good points there. First of all, the GM's not going to be in the unemployment office. Not sure what's going to happen to the coach. And the Lakers are better at small ball, and they've done it twice. It's so true. But then again, the Lakers aren't as small as they make it out to be, right? LeBron was talking about it. Even when they go small, they've got like a wingspan. Every one of these guys who are out there of like 14 feet. So they're really not that small. They're smaller, but they are better at small ball than the Rockets are. 1-800-636-8686. I said, take it as a personal challenge. Prove to me you're good enough to call the show and get on the air. Prove it. Don't tell me, man. Show me. Prove it. All right, now this guy has proven time and time again that he's good enough to get on the air. That's why I take his calls so frequently. This guy has nothing to prove to me. He's already proven it. And I mentioned it was a really bad night for Houston. Texans are same as they ever were, only worse. The Rockets jump on the Lakers early on. They look like they're a bad matchup for LA, and LA's run right through them since then. The Astros also lost. Bad night top to bottom for H-Town. So let's go to a guy who's got nothing to prove to me, who, as Hawk would like to say, is on topic, in market. You know him. Jerome in Houston. Jerome, brother, what's up? How are you?
Howdy, Mr. Vance Mack. And I'm not a smart man, Jim, but I know what love is. And that boob O'Brien loves himself more than winning. This nincompoop was establishing the run down 17 points versus Patty Mahomes. I guess trying to justify trading our stud receiver for a running back. Now,
that's not a good call. No.
Boob.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that
Duke.
Call. Not a very good call.
That right there was the worst fake Jerome I've ever heard. Come on, man. Well, Jerome, the good news is now there's a fake one of you. Boob.
Boob.
Kook.
Kook.
You ever notice that two of the best words ever are palindromes? Boob and kook.
Boob. Kook.
All right, so now we've got ourselves a fake Jerome. We can't wait for the real Jerome to call in with his reaction to the fake Jerome. And let me save you all the trouble. Hey, Rome, the fake Jerome is so much better than the real Jerome. I know, like the fake silk is better than the real silk, and the fake silk is better than the fake silk, which is better than the real silk. Come on!
Come on.
You got to do better. I think the question is, though, about Bill O'Brien. If you want a name call and you just want to say this guy's a kook or a boob,
kook.
I'm not going to talk you off that. That's not unfair. Like, what the hell is this guy doing? What's he doing punting in midfield? What, they were going to stop KC? And what's he doing running it up the middle down 17 over and over again? I mean, what's the guy ever doing? 1-800-636-8686. I do want to take a moment and I want to acknowledge that it's been nearly two decades. But you can probably remember exactly what you were doing 19 years ago today. You can probably remember what you were doing and exactly how it felt. I know I do. On this September 11th, I am thinking once again of those who lost family members, those who lost friends, those whose lives were forever changed. Also, I have great gratitude, tremendous gratitude. My gratitude continues to be with those who enlisted, re-enlisted, or stayed on. some of whom made the ultimate sacrifice. So once again, I do want to acknowledge that. Setting up for hour number two, 1-800-636-8686. Checking some of this reaction, which is not making it better. Stucknut himself in H-Town. War fake Jerome. Jeff in SoCal has had a big week on the program. The fake Jerome talked about sports, which was a dead giveaway. Johnny Scabs. Best Jerome call ever. 143C1. The fake Jerome is better than the original one. Yeah, I know. I know that. Yeah, I knew that was coming. That's why I said it before you sent it. DLH 1029 wore the fake Jerome. Why? There was nothing funny about that. There was nothing good about that. It was just a guy with an extremely, extremely poor fake accent or dialect. When we return, Squirrel 2 tweets, the fake Jerome runs circles around the real Jerome. No, he doesn't. Coming up next hour, the big head, James Kelly, with his predictions. So I want to start hour number two with my thoughts on the LA Lakers and the Rockets and where both those teams go moving ahead. Because that series, by the way, is over. My thoughts on that next.